Hey, Browns fans, it's time to gear up for a pain-free 2022 NFL season for your Cleveland Browns with new friends of the show, Buckeye Law Group. If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, a work accident, or even if you've been buried into the ground by Myles Garrett or stiff-armed by Nick Chubb, you need to call Buckeye Law Group today at 1-800-411-PAIN. Their attorneys will fight for the money you deserve. Buckeye Law Group's attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for their clients throughout the entire country. So don't make the mistake of calling just any other attorney. Call attorneys you can trust, and best of all, they're Browns fans just like you. Call our friends from Buckeye Law Group at 1-800-411-PAIN. After 911, call 411. That's 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-7246. That's Buckeye Law Group, located at 1300 East 9th Street, Suite 1210 in Cleveland, Ohio. Buckeye Law Group, proud fans of the Cleveland Browns just like you.
Hey guys, it's Kenny Mack from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and I'm putting an APB out for Myles Garrett. I need your help. Let's find him. Hell, let's find the whole defense. If you find him, send him to Orchard Park, New York, and label them volatile, not fragile like this week. Also, had a wild idea. Maybe there's like an ex-player who's coaching a football team in high school that can maybe turn this defense around and get a win. Nah, that'll never work. I like getting those 3 hours back from yesterday. Anyways, let's kick this off, boys. Go Browns.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, John Nye, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. If you want to get your own show on the show, head to the dogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. Thanks to Kenny Mack for that inspiring intro he left us today. We're going to change this podcast to the Moon Dogs Podcast. If we get a couple more losses, it's going to become a Strictly Cavaliers podcast because I'm getting, I don't know how much longer I can do this for. Hopefully you guys are still out there listening. Bad loss for the Browns. We're going to get into it. We got some voicemails to get to. Hear your guys' thoughts. Before we do, though, I want to remind you to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts if you prefer to just listen. We want to give a huge shout-out to everybody who follows us on TikTok. Today we hit the 10,000 follower mark on TikTok. It's the first platform we've hit double digit thousands. I don't know how to say that. Followers of any sorts. It's the one we've had the least amount of time.
We have 10 of thousands of followers.
Yes. 10 of thousands. It's very impressive.
10 of thousand.
So if you're following us on there, we really appreciate it. If you're not following us and you're on TikTok, go give us a follow. Help us out. We post little snippets and stuff there all the time. One of my favorite things I just repinned to our profile was the video of me talking about how the Lions and the Packers were going to be the same this year. And
no, you didn't say the same.
Oh, I said the Lions were going to finish better.
Yes.
And it's very, very close.
The Packers did their best to prove you wrong this week. They're trying.
Fine. Everybody knew the Packers were going to win. There's no way Aaron Rodgers was losing to Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is still a fake coach. He still sucks. He just has a good defense, and that's it. And he has nothing to do with that defense. So I'm still not a Mike McCarthy fan.
No.
Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, you want to hear more stuff like we just did the last minute, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page, get an extra episode every week, fantasy leagues going on, private Discord. It's just a ton of fun. Browns fans all over the world, people to help commiserate with on Sundays, keep our spirits as high as possible, or just people to cry to come Sunday evening most weeks. So if you're looking for Browns fans to hang out with all over the world, you need some people to cry with on Sundays, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So the Browns come out of the bye week this week off their biggest win of the season, Monday night against the Bengals on Halloween. And you're going, man, we got 2 weeks to prepare for these guys. And don't look now, if we can somehow find a way to win this game, holy crap, season's still very much alive.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
You know, just typical Browns move, man. It's like we all got the memo.
Yeah.
We all knew what was at stake. We all knew we had 2 weeks to prepare for this. But nobody told the players. Nobody told the coaches. This is one of the most embarrassing losses I can remember in the recent past. The Browns have so many embarrassing losses in my life. I mean, I guess you could say since week two to the Jets. But this one was just so embarrassing, dude. The effort, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I thought the defense played decent for a half, but, man, the effort in the second half was abysmal.
No, this whole team, coaching staff, like you just said, they should be truly embarrassed. I mean, to call themselves professional football players, professional football coaches, you really can't. I mean, it was so pathetic.
It was awful. We're going to get into everything. We're just going to get right into your voicemails this week. We're going to get to all of them, and then we'll touch some stuff up at the end, too, anything that's not covered in the voicemails. So yes. What do we got?
This one kind of covers what I was just saying.
What's up, guys? It's Tanner. I'm going to try to make it quick. You can't look me in my eyes and tell me that we can watch a sorry franchise like the Bengals draft high 2 years in a row and find themselves in the Super Bowl while we keep telling ourselves to relax and wait for us to put together. It does not take 5 years. We ignored all kinds of problems with certain players and neglected them entirely on the defense. You can't just pick up a quarterback and say all problems are solved, especially when he's out for most of the year. Just like I said a couple weeks ago, when the players actually came to play on Monday night, it was the players who made a choice and did their jobs, not Joe Woods. He gets no credit. We've seen him for 3 years in a row now blow it. 2 years with his own guys that he had input on getting. Now we have all these players that we paid a ton of money to, and they look like way less than the players that we paid for. Nobody looks good. There's about three players I like to keep. Everyone else needs to go. We'll probably watch him be good somewhere else, too. While we keep wasting Nick Chubb's career, I feel bad for that guy. We watch all these other teams make moves at the trade deadline while we just watch because we think we're too good or something. I don't know. Or we're asking too much for players. Yet the Dolphins that go get Wilson and go get Chubb, and both those people played a vital role in them kicking our asses yesterday. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know if I can watch too many more games this year. I've been to four of these games. I drive past freaking downtown Cleveland every morning. I'm getting really tired of having this team to root for. There might be a new team that I might be trying to pick up and root for because it's ridiculous. Thanks.
Man, I felt that on a deep personal level. Right? Yeah.
Yes. I felt that personally.
A couple things you said. I think we didn't make moves at the trade deadline, not because we think we're too good, but because I think they'll never say it publicly, but they know we're too bad. And they weren't going to give anything up because they know the season's going nowhere.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, about picking up a quarterback and then him not playing most of the season. When we traded for Deshaun, we didn't know how many games it was going to be. We were kind of still thinking it might be in that like 4 to 6 range.
And so it was supposed to be 6.
So the 11 games, kind of came back, and that sucks. So I don't think you can kind of put that on that move necessarily. But there was a chance, you know, they were talking at that time he was going to be out the whole year. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever. They did not fix the defense. He is right about that.
So I got it. I was arguing with a guy on Twitter this morning because that's what I do now. He said he's always defending Joe Woods, saying that he doesn't have any good players. And I went like, bro, the defense has plenty of good players. He's wasting them or ruining them. So I wanted to ask you guys. And then I told him, I said, look what Stefanski's doing on offense with his players. There's more talent on the defensive side of the ball, more highly drafted players on the defensive side of the ball. But we are 31 in points per game allowed on the defensive side of the ball, and we're top 10 in scoring on the offensive side of the ball. So, and I get that Stefanski is a head coach, so he needs to be concerned about all, but that tells you the difference in coaching on one side of the ball compared to the other, because there's way more talent on the defensive side of the ball. So I want to ask you guys, what side of the ball do you think has more talent?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, you would think the defense.
Yeah,
you would absolutely think on paper.
He was telling me there's nobody. Go ahead.
Well, the only reason I would maybe disagree with that is because of our offensive line.
That's fair.
As far as weapons are concerned, yeah, maybe our defense. But when you factor in the offensive line with a healthy Wyatt Teller, I think it's the offense, actually.
Think about this, though. I'm going to push you back here. On the offense, you got Amari Cooper. Like right now, you got Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Chubb. I'm not throwing Kareem in on this because he hasn't been that good this year.
Yeah, you really can't anymore.
And then I'm going to throw in Teller and Betonio. Okay? Teller's been hurt a few weeks. And Njoku's been hurt a few weeks. We've been playing with a backup center all year, and he's playing out of his mind.
He's
because
doing pretty well.
Coaching matters. We've played with a patchwork offensive line last couple years. Jedrick Wills isn't that good of a left tackle.
I'll bring him up later. Go ahead and keep going.
Jedrick Wills is not that good of a left tackle. Ethan Posick is a free agent backup center. We're playing with a guard I've never even heard of.
Yeah.
And Jack Conklin is still a very solid right tackle, but he is not the Pro Bowler he was, you know, in Tennessee, at least not so far. He's also been injured a lot. Coaching matters. They're getting the most out of these guys. The Browns have one of the best offensive lines in football, and they have two great guards and then three okay players. Mm-hmm. Those guys are playing above their means a lot because of guys like Bill Callahan. And he's, you know, James Hudson, where'd we get him? It was late, right? Fifth round, sixth round.
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
Okay, look how well he's played because coaching matters. We'll go to the other side of the ball and look what's Greedy Williams, second round pick. Grant Delpit, second round pick. Myles Garrett's a number one overall pick. Jadeveon Clowney is still considered a very high end defensive edge. Mm-hmm. Who else? Newsom has not played as well this year as he did last year. There's Emerson out there.
You haven't even mentioned Ward yet.
There's Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
These are all second round or higher players.
John Johnson was a top free agent safety 2 years ago.
Correct. And they've all gotten worse.
Yes.
Coaching matters. It matters. So you can't tell me there's not talent on the defensive side of the ball. All these guys, there's no way they're all bust. There's no way Greedy, Delpit, Newsom, Emerson, Ward. There's no way they're all busts all of a sudden.
No, you compare the two sides of the ball. So we're talking about all these like first and second round, you know, Emerson, a third round pick, these high draft pick capital guys on the defensive side, and they're not playing up to their potential on the other side of the ball. You just said, you got three guys on the line who are just okay, and like the free agent backup center is out there playing out of his mind. Teller a couple years ago, we didn't even know if he'd be a backup making the roster.
He was fighting with Austin Corbett for a spot.
And now he's a Pro Bowler.
One of the best guards in the league because coaching matters.
So imagine if we had good coaching that could come in and actually mold our first and second round picks on the defensive side, how good that defense could be on paper. That's a defensive roster I guarantee 31 other teams in the league would kill for.
We are a top 10 offense this year with a career journeyman quarterback.
Yes.
Tell me anywhere else that happens. Maybe Seattle this year, which is insane. You know, it's never happened. But you go tell me, find me another team that's playing with like a career journeyman backup quarterback, and then he's leading a top 10 offense.
Mm-hmm.
And he only has one wide receiver. DPJ's putting a nice season together, but he's still just definitely a number two or three. No receivers on this team have a touchdown except for Amari Cooper. The last wide receiver to catch a touchdown for the Browns was Jarvis Landry, not named Amari Cooper.
That's crazy.
And it's a top 10 offense.
Joe Woods 100% needs to be gone next year.
It's not even a question.
One thing I'll say, and I'm not making excuses for our defense at all, but we do have all this talent. Now we can agree on that. But then we've got an entire section of our defense that is sucks. Not like sucks, I don't know bro. If Joe Woods or any defensive coordinator is fixing that. We get a new defensive coordinator next year. We still need to pick up some pieces on defense to be able to stop we let everybody run all over us.
The interior D line is dog shit.
It's trash.
Not even
it's
there.
Bad. I think it's irrelevant.
A few weeks ago, I think I called it the Bermuda Triangle of suck.
You did.
The two interior D linemen and the middle linebacker, and it hasn't changed. No, Andrew Berry's not blameless because he doesn't put any kind of emphasis on those two positions. And all offseason we're going, hey.
We saw this last year.
We suck at this, and we saw this last year, and we got worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot worse.
And we did nothing to shore it up. Now, could Joe Woods maybe, I don't know, let's move Miles inside every now and then? Every time he does it, it works out. But he just goes in spurts where there's no adjustments. It's like he's watching the game with blinders on. So, and you ever notice, too, every halftime, we'll play tough for a half, and then after halftime, it's just we get obliterated mm-hmm. because the other team makes adjustments and we make none. Oh, we're just going to do what got us here. Most NFL teams, I know even our local high school team, they almost have two game plans. They have a first half game plan, and then there's stuff that they hold and don't show, and they save for the second half to counter any adjustments that the other team might make. So if the local high school team does that, why doesn't the local professional football team do that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's crazy the lack of adjustments.
I'm going to say something that might upset Browns fans, but at some point, Kevin Stefanski has to start taking accountability for how badly things are going.
Oh, you're not going to upset Browns fans. There's a lot of Browns fans who want him gone.
It's frustrating. Well, I was talking to somebody today, and they said, you know, like last year, the year before, we would have never even thought about this. But it's getting to a point now where no adjustments are being made. It's not being focused on. And, you know, I know he runs the offense, but at the end of the day, he's the head coach. He has to be held accountable for what his guys are putting out there. And to this point, except for maybe what, one or two games, the defense has been embarrassingly bad. And it's not even like, oh, we get gashed on the rush, because we've done that too. John pointed it out. He said, man, we're probably, I'm scared. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I'm very nervous. I think these guys are going to kill us. And you are 100% accurate on that, bro. You nailed that. But then to all he did, nobody had like a crazy big game receiver wise, but he diced us up. Every guy in that receiving core had four or five catches for 60, 70 yards.
It's typical Browns. A guy who doesn't have a touchdown for the season, he scores on the Browns.
Yeah, and then they said something about the Browns not giving up a touchdown on the first drive of the game. I was like, yo, why'd you say that? Because you know what's going to happen now.
We got no pressure on Tua all game. Now, no. They did a good job of, like, moving the pocket, and he got rid of the ball quick. But the effort's just bad. And I'm still a Stefanski supporter, but it's getting harder and harder to defend him. Like, I still don't want him gone, but especially because I said this a couple weeks ago, we don't need to overreact losing these games. We all expected to lose these games.
And playing with a backup quarterback is kind of like playing with one arm tied behind your back.
We all expect.
He's got half a playbook.
Like I said, losing these games suck because we lost the games that we shouldn't have lost earlier in the season. These games we all expected to lose. When we did a schedule breakdown early in the year, we were like, well, that's probably a loss. That's probably a loss. That's probably a loss. I don't want to overreact to losing to games that I picked us to lose 3 months ago. But it's how we lost this game. Yeah. It's coming out of your bye. You just played your most complete game. The season's kind of hanging in the balance. If you can somehow pull this one out, everything you want to do is still in front of you, and you come out and just lay an egg. And the effort is so bad. Myles Garrett's effort was so bad. He had as many tackles as Cade York.
Look at the body language, too, of the players. Like, when they scan the sideline, it's just a whole bunch of just guys that are defeated in the first quarter. When they scored right before half, I was like, uh-oh, that's probably it. Because we can't keep up with that offense, and we weren't. It comes down to execution and stuff like that. Like, at the end of the day, we got guys that are playing above their means, but especially when the defense is going to go out there and just absolutely let them do everything that they want. There was guys making plays yesterday that I had never even heard of. I literally looked at my wife. I was like, I don't even know who the hell that guy is. I didn't know if he was a receiver or Ingold or whatever.
Ingold, yeah.
I was literally like, I've never even heard of this guy. And I've heard about the fifth, sixth guy all the way down a roster, you know, from fantasy. Well, I didn't even heard of the guy.
We got absolutely embarrassed and obliterated yesterday. And Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle had meh games.
Yeah, yeah, I have both of them in different fantasy leagues.
Yeah, if Hill didn't catch that one touchdown, he has a horrible fantasy day. I mean, if you're looking at it from that side, but you look at the run, like we were just talking about that interior D line and everything. I mean, Jeff Wilson, 7 yards a carry. Raheem Mostert, 8 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, every time they got the ball, they were ripping off huge chunk yardage. It was terrible.
And they're good. They're talented guys. Yeah, but they're not good, like that.
They're not a good run team.
So
yeah.
They average 90 yards a game.
Right. Yeah. And they didn't. They're a pass. Remember last week we talked about they're like 63 because I did the poor math.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. They were very much run or pass heavy. Not this week. They were like,
it's 50-50. Need to be. Tua threw 33 times. They ran 33 times.
It's pretty balanced.
They ran for 195 yards. They averaged 90. Everybody, the only team that hasn't ran all over us, and it's only because Zach Taylor's too stupid of a coach to realize that we can't stop the run, is the Bengals.
Yep. Yeah, and I think everybody I agree else, with you. It's a Zach Taylor thing.
Yes. The Bengals. Yeah. Everybody else just runs all over us, and they didn't even try. If they would have tried, I mean, what's crazy is they didn't even try to run against us, and then the next week Joe Mixon had 5 touchdowns. It's like, hey, guys, he could have done that last week.
Yeah, very easily.
You didn't even try.
We would have let you.
Yeah. So it's just – it's embarrassing. The thing I want to say about Stefanski, especially why it's getting harder to defend him, is the things that made him coach of the year and what we thought were strengths – are every year they've gotten worse.
Yes.
What made him coach of the year and why we were so impressed with him was how buttoned up we were, how he got guys to buy in over Zoom, you know, because it was the COVID year, how disciplined we looked, all that stuff. And all that seems to has regressed every year. So now if you even take the defense out, say you're like, well, that's Joe Woods' problem. The thing, it's the other stuff, the discipline, the buy-in, the motivation, that has gotten in. That's what's making me more scared for Stefanski, even more than him needed to get the reins on the defense. His strengths don't seem to be strengths anymore.
No, and I mean, if you think about it, think about from like a business perspective, if you were like, you know, you're over three departments at your company, right? Those are your three departments you're responsible for. You got a manager in each one of them. You got one department that's doing really well, and you're really helping that manager, and you're doing a lot of work with that one, excelling. Those other two departments are horrible, really dragging down the company, losing money or whatever. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to have your job? Just because one department's doing really well, the other two are dragging you down.
Correct.
You're not going to have that job very long.
Correct.
Do you want to hear a really, really disappointing stat that I didn't even realize, but I came across it? We were so bad on defense yesterday, they didn't even have to punt the ball. They didn't even punt the ball one time.
They could have practice squatted their punter and let somebody else get a day on the active roster.
Yeah, like another fullback could have gotten a touchdown or something.
And it wouldn't have cost them. Unbelievable to not that. I mean, that's almost like Ohio State versus Akron kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
So one last thing before we go to the next voicemail. Speaking of Ohio State, to the people who tell me that it's the players, not the coaching, and we've touched on this, and I know college is different than pros, but just look at Ohio State's defense this year compared to last year, and the only difference is a new defensive coordinator. It's obviously a couple different guys, but the main nucleus, it's a lot of the same guys. And the defense is top 10 in every category this year. They were one of the worst defenses in all of college football last year. Coaching matters.
Or just look at anything outside of sports. One good leader can change an entire team of the exact same people. He can change the culture. He can change the work ethic. He can change everything.
Yes. Mark Jackson used to coach the Golden State Warriors, and they were decent, make like first round playoffs, or they're scratching it. They fired him, and everybody's going, oh, you fired a good coach, and they hire Steve Kerr, and it's a dynasty. Coaching matters. Coaching matters.
All right, Browns fans, the kicker's lining up for an onside kick. The chances of regaining possession are slim, unless you're kicking to the Browns. The stakes are high and the tension is higher. Your pulse, racing, he kicks, you watch, the ball lands. Make every play feel this exciting with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and their unbeatable offers. Right now, new customers can make any $5 NFL bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings Stepped Up Same Game Parlays. To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on Stepped Up Same Game Parlays once per game day all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Just place a $5 bet on any football game. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. What's up, Browns fans? Let's take a quick break in the action. Let's talk about tailgating because there's still plenty of NFL action left to go. And this season, if you're not tailgating with the best steaks ever, you need to get yourself Omaha Steaks. The holidays are right around the corner, but until then, let's keep enjoying this fall air, and that means fall grilling with cookouts, tailgate parties, and so much more. Luckily, the flavor experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to savor all the flavors of fall with their mouth-watering assortments of perfectly aged steaks, ultra-juicy burgers, and easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Now is the perfect time to load up on all this incredible flavor and take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping their friends and family sale. And if you're listening to this show, you're friends and family. Go to omahasteaks.com and use our promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out and get $30 off your order. Don't wait, guys. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. Stock up today. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. And don't forget to score that extra $30 off when you order using promo code DAWGS at checkout. Omaha Steaks is perfect for those chilly and busy fall nights. You won't come close to getting this kind of quality at the grocery store. Visit omahasteaks.com, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out. Minimum order may be required. Well, speaking of coaching, here's Clayton.
Hey, guys. Clayton here, Akron, Ohio. Been a longtime Browns fan, highs and lows, and obviously more of the lows. It's just getting really hard to watch these guys. I mean, I watch them every week, but Joe Woods is not putting an acceptable product on the field. We got real excited. We thought he was turning the corner with Cincinnati, but like you guys said, he puts enough out there to kind of save his job and get to the next week. But he was back to his same old four-man front, soft zone. Tua was just sitting back there picking us apart because he's got all the time in the world. And because the middle of our D-line is trash, they can double-team and block Miles and Clowney. If Stefanski's not willing to pull the trigger on him and fire him, maybe his seat needs to start getting warm too. The other side, offense, it looked like we took a step back from the Cincinnati game to today. And I don't know if that's play calling, if that's Miami's defense, but I feel like we went in the opposite direction offensively also. Go Browns.
So yeah. Just to talk about the play calling, I think we kind of got caught in the moment of how the game script was going. I mean, we got down. We kind of got away from a rush because we really couldn't. We went down two scores. It was kind of second half. Well, and then we couldn't stop them.
And we couldn't run the ball.
Right.
We couldn't. We were trying to run the ball early.
Nick Chubb ended with over 5 yards of carry because of that 33-yard touchdown.
Yes, he had.
If
you take away the 33-yard touchdown, which when the game was already decided late, he would have had 10 carries for 33 yards.
Yeah, so.
He averaged 3.3 yards of carry.
I would argue the game wasn't decided at that point.
At half, bro?
No, or it wasn't. If we would have stopped him the drive before,
and
then that would have made it a one-score game. He scored, and it was still a two-score game in the fourth quarter.
Right, no, the reason it was decided is because we knew they were just going to score again.
Yes.
The players and the quit we saw on the field, it was decided.
And what Clayton just said about Stefanski needing to fire Joe Woods or his seat gets warmer, that's what I said right before we started the show. I don't care if he's your friend, man. He's not good enough. And we'll see what happens after the season. We're probably just not going to fire him right in the middle of the season.
I agree.
I worry, too, when I look at body language of the players, I worry that they're not buying into Stefanski. And if you don't have control of your locker room and the players aren't buying into what you're selling, maybe it's time. And I hate to say that. I hate to say that because I think Stefanski's a damn good coach. I think offensively he's a groover. But you know what it reminded me of? And I don't know if it's kind of a similar system. What was it? 2 years ago, Browns looked like a very decent team, and we went to San Francisco on a Monday night and got the brakes blown off us because they ran the ball down our throat. We couldn't stop them. And Baker had a terrible game.
We
weren't
a decent team that year. I'm pretty sure we were 0-2.
Was that? Okay.
That was Freddie's year.
Is that Freddie's year?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just the anticipation.
Sure, that just made us 0-3.
Okay.
We'd already gotten the break speed off us by the Titans.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. No, and we were punching players and stuff that game.
We were 1-1.
Okay.
Because we barely beat the Jets in week 2.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, but it reminded me of that game. Because I just felt like we didn't have any answer for him. No, we couldn't do anything.
We didn't. Yeah, they did exactly what they wanted to do, whether it was run or pass, every single play.
Yeah.
I was losing my mind.
This was a game, and I know Jacoby actually, he played a decent game.
It was all right.
But this was a game not having Deshaun really hurt the Browns. Because we actually talked about this on our preview last week. The Dolphins' run defense against running backs is actually pretty decent. What has killed them this year is mobile quarterbacks. Jacoby had 7 carries. He had 40 yards. Mm-hmm. But Jacoby's not a running quarterback. And for the first time all year, they shut down our traditional run game of Chubb and Hunt. I know they only carried the ball 17 times between them. We touched on why, because we're down 2 and 3 scores in the second half. We tried to run the ball. I thought in the first half, we tried to get the run going, and we couldn't. Mm-hmm. We were getting two yards a carry. At one point, we averaged 2.3 yards a carry. If Deshaun plays in this game and the threat of the quarterback to run is open, it would have opened up so much more. This was the first time in all year, I think, where it was like the lack of an explosive player at quarterback has really limited the offense. Because if you look at the Browns offense, we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, we don't have a lot of explosive playmakers on the outside of Amari Cooper. Okay, so we're not explosive on the outside, and we don't have a threat to run at quarterback. I mean, all they had to focus on was Nick Chubb. And they were a good run defense.
Yeah. And you said it, I think, you said it last week on the episode that don't be surprised if the Browns come out throwing the ball early, which is what we did on that first drive. And I got really excited, of course, as a Browns fan. We went right down the field on the first drive and scored. And it was like, okay, great. Now if our defense can come out, we hadn't seen them yet, the way that they were against, you know, the last time we saw them against the Bengals and we shut them down, make a three and out or, you know, whatever, get the ball back, no points, and go down to score again. Now we've got a really nice shot here.
I feel like that happens a lot, too. I don't know the stat, like, as far as games, the first drives for us, I feel like we go down and get the score pretty often. I could be wrong there completely. It just feels that way. We either
get
the score
or we go fourth and three and don't get it.
I'm not going to lie, though. Like, I think even if we had Deshaun Watson, because our defense is absolute trash, I don't even think it – I mean, it would have been close. But at the end of the day, they did everything that they wanted to do. They controlled the game. I don't think it – I mean, early on there was hope. But I don't think, like, we ever, as a team, had any kind of control of the game. They did what they wanted.
No, it was straight ass-beating.
And it felt like Browns fans were in Miami. Like, there was a lot of Browns fans, and
Aaron, in the dog pack, was there.
Yeah.
And he said it was more Browns fans than Dolphins fans.
That's crazy. I was just going to bring this up real quick. Just a quick little side note about Amari Cooper. You know, we can talk about this explosive playmaker we have on the outside, but have you guys noticed his home and away split?
Oh, it's crazy, bro.
It's been that way his whole career.
Yeah.
So what is up with that?
He likes playing at home.
Yeah.
He does better at home, bro.
It's not even just a little bit different. It's huge. I mean, his away games, 17 yards, 9 yards. He has 74 in Baltimore, which is okay, but 32. His home games, 101, 101, 76, 131.
It's been that way his whole career.
Yeah.
Maybe athletes are creatures of habit. Look at Kirk Cousins.
Mike can't win on
it. It's a joke. Kirk Cousins, like, noon Kirk Cousins is like a top five NFL QB, and then he has to play any other time besides noon. He sucks. It's just, it's weird. It's super weird. But we were never in this.
No,
I agree.
We were never.
We held on hope as Browns fans that things would break our way. And again, we don't get turnovers.
No,
like, turnovers are a complete non-factor this year for us.
Well, you have to be around people to create a turnover. I actually saw this thing. So this was posted before the game, and I didn't see it till today. So it was the three keys to success for the Browns versus the Dolphins. Did see if the Browns did any of these. Take care of the football.
Nope. Unfortunately not.
Nick Chubb fumbled. Is it just me too? Nick Chubb is awesome, but man, when he fumbles, it always seems like it's the worst time. So we didn't take care of the football. Sack, hit, and disrupt Tua.
Nope.
I don't even think we touched him.
No. He was never down two-hand
tap. They didn't have to clean his jersey after
that. So they did get one sack on him because Newsom and Deion Jones combined for a half sack.
Yeah, okay.
My God, one sack? God, what?
And then limit the big plays.
Oh,
okay.
No, they just
we limited them a little bit on passing for a little bit, I guess.
I'll say this on that. What's his name? Sheffield or Sherfield or whatever his name. On his touchdown catch, he definitely pushed off on Emerson. So we're just never going to freaking get a call like that. It cost us a game in Baltimore. It was the Baltimore game, right?
Yeah.
But they call that weak-ass push-off on Amari. And since then, we've had multiple touchdowns thrown against us where the guy has pushed off on our DB. No freaking call in sight. It's irritating as shit.
Well, going back to our preview of this game, we all kind of agreed that the number one key to stopping the Dolphins was bring pressure.
Well, so you had to be careful here, though. You can't bring a ton of pressure because that's going to leave people on the outside one-on-one with Waddle and Hill, and you're just going to get torched.
Well, you
but you can,
your
you
blitz to, can't be predictable, you but to, you can't just never do it.
Exactly. You have to sprinkle it in still. And I'm not saying bring six and seven, but you can occasionally bring a fifth.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could still bring five sometimes.
Well, keep them guessing because they looked like they came in with a plan. They came in with 60 plays or whatever, and they said, so this is what we're going to do.
And then they checked off all 60 of those plays.
And they followed it perfectly.
Yes.
Because our defense is like, oh, they want to run this play?
That's not true. They probably had a couple punts in their plan just in case, and they were like, we didn't have to punt!
Yeah. Just
okay, that's wild. A fair point.
It's wild.
But, I mean, it was insane watching them just run
It was very methodical.
It was like Atlanta all over again, watching them run for 10, for 8, 10 again the next play, and then they just throw on us.
And if you
what are we doing?
If you get 6-7 yards on first down with the run, your whole playbook's open. Even if you make, like, let's say you throw it and they don't catch it, we'll just give it to the back on third down, and guess what? He'll get another 6 or 7, new set of downs. We could never get them in a position where
they averaged 7.3 yards per play.
Yeah.
That's literally never getting off the field.
Nope.
That's 14 yards every two plays. You only need 10 for a first down, turns out. You know what I mean?
That would explain why they didn't have to punt.
Yeah. They were 6 of 11 on third down, and I wish I could hire somebody to do this and go back in Joe Woods' tenure for 3 years now and see how many times the Browns give up on a first down on third and 8+. It's got to be at like in a historically high clip, because I feel like we almost never get off the third and long, third and 10, third and 11. Might as well be third and 1 for the opposition.
That's fair.
It's just you're going to get to drop back. Nobody's going to get pressed at the line, and you're going to get to throw. It's going to be pitch and catch to your wide open receiver. And it could be your first option, or it could be your fifth. They'll all be open.
Yep. That's the frustrating thing, too, about watching these Browns games is if it's third and 8 for the Browns, you're sitting there going, dang, man, we're going to have to punt here. Third and 8 for the other team, you're like, crap, they're going to pick this up.
How are they going to get this?
Yeah, exactly.
It almost seems the only way we stop people is if they have a penalty.
Right.
And that's not for sure.
They'll hold. It'll be first down. They hold. It's first and 20. 3 plays later, first down.
Yeah, then they'll pick up 16 on the next play.
I was going to say 16 all day.
It'll be
second and four.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
It's so GD irritating. All right, we got any more voicemails here?
Yeah, we got two more. So here's from our intro. This is Kenny Mack.
Hey, guys, it's Kenny Mack, and another underwhelming performance by our Brownies, and it was a blowout loss. I mean, you know, for about 2 weeks here, we got to listen to, like, here's when the playoff run starts. Well, it's dead in its tracks. I mean, we can go, 8-0 now, but our offensive line just didn't show much this time, and they've been usually pretty solid. But that defensive line's been a huge problem all year. No push, no desire. Like, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are. I thought the team gave up after midway through or near the end of the third quarter, and we're just playing on for next week. We got the Bills up next week. I don't know what we're going to do if we give that same effort. Which team will show up? I don't know, guys, but we couldn't do much. You guys can take it from here. Love the show. See you later.
I thought the offensive line played their worst game of the year.
By
far.
Can we talk about Jed Wills for a couple
I'd love
minutes?
To.
So what year are we in with Jed? Is this three?
Yep.
Do we pick up his fifth year?
I don't know. I don't think we have.
That's actually – I've wanted to bring that up. Like, I don't
– Do we want him?
Is he good enough? Is he good enough to pick up the fifth? Because when you picked him 10th,
yeah,
you thought he was going to be
your foundational franchise,
if not a perennial Pro Bowler. You at least thought he was going to be like
a good starter,
a stud, a good starter, top of the league left tackle.
Yeah,
and he is average at best.
Yep, and you talk about the Bill Callahan effect on these offensive linemen, but that seems to be the one it's not taken with.
No, and I think, I don't know, to me he comes across as a little lazy.
I was just going to say, lack of effort, lack of effort,
he quits on plays. He almost always has like a drive-killing penalty.
Yep.
It's like we're finally moving the ball, and then he holds.
And every time I'm just waiting for them to say 71.
Yep.
He's waiting for it.
And I actually think if you go and look at some of his PFF stats, he's actually decent in pass protection, which is crazy because I don't see it when I watch the game. PFF can be very skewed. I like PFF, but they also, according to PFF, Malcolm Smith was a good linebacker last year.
True. I also think a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Jacoby does get rid of the ball pretty quickly.
Yes.
He's not like Baker. Jacoby knows how to go through his progressions and get rid of the ball. Typically.
Yeah. Jed Wills, to me, he is, I won't call him a bust because he's at least serviceable, but he is not, I mean, when you pick a tackle 10th, and was he the first or second tackle taken?
I think he was the second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
And Wirfs was there.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand why we took a left a right tackle that we were going to have to convert to left tackle when Wirfs was there. Was that Barry or was that Dorsey? I can't remember.
That's a good question. We'll have to look into that. Yeah.
But to me, it's like, wait, what? And I know hindsight's 20/20, but
of course,
all Tristan Wirfs is doing is being one of the best left tackles in football since the day he stepped on the field in Tampa Bay. And Jedrick Wills showed promise as a rookie, and I feel like he has not gotten any better. He's still playing at the same level he did as a rookie, which is unacceptable.
Wills was 20/20, so that would have been Barry's first year, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
That's a bad pick.
Well, Blake, I think you want to touch on something that was in that voicemail. Is our season over yet?
So I talked about this.
Oh.
The season's probably most likely over, but I don't think it's mathematically over until we lose to the Buccaneers.
Because we'll know exactly when it's mathematically over. We'll be informed of that.
Yes, because then you get the most you can win is 9, and I don't think 9's going to win the division, and I don't think 9's going to get you a wild card. But if you can somehow beat the Bucs and then Watson comes back and you somehow go 6-0 and finish 10-7, I think you're at least playing meaningful football in weeks, 16, 17, 18.
I think you have to be playing meaningful football regardless. Stefanski, they said, hey, we'd like to see Deshaun Watson and Stefanski in a full year. I'm getting to the point where I don't even know if that's like a real option. Like, they're going to call for his head. No. Especially if this is what we keep getting every week.
Stefanski would have to,
lose the locker room. I think we're pretty close to that.
I don't think there's anything he could do to get fired, honestly. He'll be back next year.
And so will Joe Woods.
Now they might take that out of his hands. But Stefanski, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, you're stuck in a rough spot because he's such a good play caller. So, and I know he needs to be more than that, but you also don't like to just let guys who can do this walk out of your building. Look what we did with Kyle Shanahan. Yep. You know what I mean? So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and because offensive geniuses aren't just growing on trees.
No, that's fair.
You know what I mean? So I think he's back next year. I don't think they're going to fire the guy when he's had to coach with Baker Mayfield and Jacoby Brissett.
Correct. I also think that if he brings Joe Woods back next year, though, I think it will be his last year. I think that is sealed.
I would agree.
I don't
with
think
that.
That this is going to change.
Well, Justin brought up players, and I don't think the front office, Barry and Stefanski have talked privately and they know Joe Woods is probably gone next year. Mm-hmm. The players don't know that. They're not going to have a player meeting to be like, hey guys, don't worry, we're going to fire Joe Woods. So
don't tell Joe.
It's going to be tough.
Keep your chin up, guys.
It's going to be tough not to lose them. Like, if the locker room decides they're done with Kevin, we're kind of screwed because he is that good. He is a really good play caller. He seems to be a decent head coach. I think he's a better play caller than he is a head coach, but by a slight margin at least. But if the players don't want to play for him, it's kind of a wrap for him.
Well, losing the locker room is we are in danger, I think, Justin, because the sideline yesterday.
I saw no effort.
I think it's predominantly on one side of the ball, though.
I'm with you on that, but that's half your
yeah. But guys. If they bring Stefanski back and they don't bring Woods back, that'll revitalize that.
I hope so. We also need to get a real leader,
player, bro. That's on defense. The character of our team.
John Johnson says the right things.
Yes.
When you watch him play, and he like jogs.
Yeah, he's not doing it on the field. We need that.
I think we're very like out there. Weak mentally, yes. Like very very weak.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take a lot for it just to completely.
Again, it's super hard to evaluate any of this though I just think they've quit on the defensive coordinator, and I'm very much like I don't want to fire coaches midseason. I just think it makes you look like the dumpster fire we are, and I don't want to look like that, but you're at the point now where it's a greater risk of doing harm to your team by keeping him
yeah.
than it is to let him go and have to deal with the fallout of that, because they're clearly not playing for him. Or they'll come out and they'll play decent, but then it's like once one bad thing goes wrong or halftime happens and we make no adjustments, they just give up.
They have no resolve.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on the coach. Coaching matters.
I think firing a head coach midseason, kind of like the Colts did. I mean, then you get the headlines and it kind of looks like, what are you guys doing?
That's a terrible
move. They won!
I know. So we fire a defensive coordinator. Okay, it's not the head coach. Who really cares? And like you said earlier, we're 31st in the league. How much worse? What are we going to do, fall to 32? I mean, what risk are you really taking by firing the guy?
Listen, we're 31st in the league and the Lions are 32nd, and the Lions played the Dolphins way tougher.
Yeah.
They played the Dolphins way tougher. Like, that was a good game.
It's bad, man.
The Bears just played these guys tougher. And I know Justin Fields is going nuts right now, but the Bears are still not that great of a team.
No, uh-uh. Nope.
They just lost to the Lions. I will say this, too, though. The NFL this year is very – there's a lot of bad football teams.
Yes, it's weird this year.
The offense is down everywhere. I mean, if you play fantasy, you know – offense is way down this year.
Scoring is, yeah.
Way down.
Hard to come by.
So it's just been a weird NFL season. So
unless you're playing against the Browns, we'll give you the points.
Or if you are the Cleveland Browns, the record's probably about the same as it's been since 1999.
Yep. That's true.
About similar.
We got what? One more voicemail here?
One last one here from Phil.
Hey, guys. It's Phil. All right. Phil. Well, that was an ass kicking. Joe Woods' defense is back, and it's trashed. He should be fired tomorrow. I would have fired him in Miami, personally. Offensive line played horrible. That's probably one of the worst games I've seen them play in a while. I can't remember the last time Nick Chubb fumbled the ball. That was an absolute just ass-kicking. And that pretty much ends our playoff hopes. Not that we had much to begin with, but I'm honestly just curious now how this team will look with Deshaun Watson. The last few six games will be interesting. Just to see how that looks. Other than that, though, there's always next year.
I think he nailed it. That's what I'm looking forward to at this point. I'm excited to see Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. Are we going to beat the Bucks? Probably not. Can we beat the Bucks? Probably not.
Okay, well, you said that twice. So I'm thinking that you meant, can we beat the Bills? No.
No.
Can we beat the Bucks?
No. But we can beat the Bucks. They are not good.
No, but you're forgetting how much they're going to gash us on the ground. Tom Brady doesn't have to do anything in that game.
Which is crazy. If we give up a ton of rushing, they can't run the ball. So if we give up, trust, I have both the running backs.
I know, but they didn't do too bad against Seattle the other day.
And if they have legs,
I'm telling you,
they can run the ball.
Yes.
Unless they have like a spinal. Defense.
Great analysis. Yeah. Love it. I love it.
So now we're about to get fisted by the Bills. It's gonna be we actually talked about this is gonna be one of the easiest games for me to watch, because there's zero expectations. If we're not just getting pounded all game, I'm gonna be like, well, we
look at that bright spot.
Yeah, it was only a 4-score game. Look at that.
Hey, we did all right.
So there's still this slight glimmer of hope. The slight. It's very little. It's doubtful. It's probably not going to happen, but it's there. I am excited to see Watson. I wanted to bring this up, so I'm glad everybody's talking about Joe Woods' defense, so this is still in play. Did you guys see Myles Garrett's quote after the game? I guess the motions and a lot of the movements they were doing in real time just sort of have a different pace than we were expecting.
Also, practice.
practice. You had 2 weeks! You had 2 weeks to prepare for this. The Dolphins run motion more than every team in the league.
Maybe they were just watching the tape like a little bit slower than
he's got, you know, the playback speed of 0.75.
Yeah, right.
It's good, man.
Look how slow their running backs are.
Yeah, not Look, fast.
They're way faster than I thought they were going to be.
Oh, Joe. He's like, change it. Kevin, don't tell anybody, but I was breaking down this film and I forgot to turn the playback speed to normal. No wonder Miles was so surprised by this guy's speed. Oh, my God.
But Tyreek Hill's fast.
Yeah. You had 2 weeks and you were surprised by something? That's lack it's of preparation.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I mean,
That was the most disappointing. Out of a bye.
That's a subtle way for Miles to like call out the coaching.
Miles needs to keep his mouth shut. He has got a track record of doing this. He wasn't any, you know, display of incredibleness yesterday
either. No, it's all over the internet. If you want to see Miles' effort, go watch the play where they run right at him and he does nothing except for he's unblocked by the D lineman. He lets his guy over him just get up to the linebacker, doesn't crash him down or anything, and then just gets cracked by a receiver. Not even hard. The guy just kind of like bumps into him and gets in his way, and Miles is just like, oh, shit, I'm blocked this play.
Yep, and he just stands there.
He doesn't fight over, rip across his face, try to run through the guy. He literally just stood there like, oh, I guess I'm taking this play off. He blocked me.
A receiver comes to block T.J. Watt. The receiver's getting knocked down.
Yes.
He might not make the play, but he's knocking that receiver down. Come on, you're not getting blocked by a wide receiver.
And it wasn't even a hard block.
No.
It's like a blind side.
Like, yeah. He didn't even hardly block him. He just kind of stood like in his way. It was almost like a screen in basketball. And Miles didn't even put up a fight. So I think the coaching sucks, Miles, but I try harder at this podcast than you tried on that play. So I'll call it out.
Show up every week.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Watching that play, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder we got our asses kicked.
And I don't think we can push it enough that was for 2 weeks. That's the product that we put out there. We had 2 weeks to prepare for just, and it's not like we were like looking ahead because we can't afford to do that. But this was 2 weeks to prepare for this team, and we look completely lost and surprised.
Everybody said that the whole defense must have went out with Perry on the night before.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's John's right. I think it was the playback speed.
For sure. Let's defend it.
What about Perion though, guys?
Bust.
I can't believe he hasn't got cut yet.
I think we're so weak at that position that they're like, maybe he'll.
I think the Browns have kind of a bad habit of keeping people around based on potential that potential doesn't really go anywhere.
Is it true that there's still not an Andrew Berry draft pick that's been cut yet?
Oh, no, LeCount.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
LeCount got cut. But
yeah, he's the only one, I'm pretty sure.
And, Perrion, he's got issues, obviously. You're starting to see why
he fell.
Like, it's crazy.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's kind of like, Malik McDowell last year. Mm. The way he played, it'd been nice to have him this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, just.
So I saw this, and this makes me feel even worse. First of all, we already touched on this. We're out of voicemails, right?
Yeah, so just kind of lay it on heavy
for a minute. First of all, the Colts just won. They were the dumpster fire of the week. They fired their offensive coordinator 2 weeks ago, fired Frank Reich, hired Jeff freaking Saturday. He's got 4 days to prepare, and he's never been a coach at the collegiate or pro level. He had to leave the Get Upset at ESPN to go to Indianapolis and be like, oh, crap, I got to throw together a game plan and coach these guys in 4 days. And they won. The Browns had 2 weeks to prepare. And they got beat 39-17.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did. Like, that only, and I saw, go look at the teams that have the same or worse record than the Browns. There's not many. And they're like the dumpster fire teams. And it's like, holy crap. That's us. We had a guy in our YouTube comments this week got mad because we call the Browns a dumpster fire. If we're not a dumpster fire, what is?
No, it's. And it's been that. There's a repetition of this. Every year, as a Browns fan, I get up and I go, hey, this is it. I like what I see on paper. We got all these playmakers. Man, we went out and made some moves. And then it's just the same product every year. And it's either, I feel like it's year to year, like the offense will be really good, then the defense sucks and we can't do anything. Then the next year, the defense is solid, but the offense sucks. And then, then there's this year, like the offense is okay, but the defense and the special team sucks. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, top to bottom, we're shit.
Yeah, if we're not a dumpster fire, we're a tire fire.
And it's a full rage burn.
I just saw this. It said, the Titans are routinely down 7 starters, ranked 32nd in yards per drive, and have gained more yards than their opponent only one time this year. They're 6-3.
Yep.
So how are these other teams that are limited, have less talent, dealing with injuries? Why can they be 6-3? You know why? Because they do the little things. Yeah. They don't have stupid penalties. Yep. They don't start drives first and 20. They give effort every single play, every single week.
To prove your point here, let's look at these other teams real quick that only have 3 wins just like the Browns. Can you tell me if on paper we have the better team?
Oh, boy. I don't know,
okay, so
man.
What about the Bears? Panthers.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We have the same amount of wins as the Panthers.
Jesus Christ.
The Texans have 1 win.
We are, by the way, one second.
Yeah.
We're a 58-yard field goal away from having less wins than the Panthers.
You're right. And they're going to have more than us. Yeah. So what about the Rams?
I would think that they are more talented.
Not this year.
But would you call them a dumpster fire this year?
Yes. Their offensive line is really, really bad. They
can't run the ball.
All they do is throw to Cooper. No. That's it.
Now he's hurt. Yeah. Van Jefferson was hurt most of the year.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of weapons.
So then the Saints have 3 wins.
How?
The Saints are awful.
They suck.
I'm not a believer on them.
The Lions?
The Saints, though, the offense we thought they were going to have, James got hurt. Yeah. Landry got hurt.
Thomas is on IR.
Michael Thomas.
Broke his toe again.
Yeah, they're playing with – I saw a thing that said Michael Thomas, toe, missing another year. Brian Robinson – shot 4 times, missed 4 games.
Yeah,
correct.
So what did I just say? The Lions have 3 wins and then the dumpster fire Broncos.
Yeah.
And us.
It's Here's the thing.
How many wins do the Steelers have?
Oh, I forgot to scroll down. 3.
It's unreal.
So aside from the Rams, maybe the Rams, I think we're the biggest letdown among all those teams.
The Broncos.
Okay.
Yeah. How many wins do the Raiders got?
Two.
Who's the bigger letdown this year? The Browns or the Raiders?
Raiders.
It's got to be the Raiders.
A few wins.
They had their quarterback all year.
Yeah.
Two wins. And they got, they just traded for Devontae Adams.
They've got the same amount of wins that Derek Carr has eyes that have eyeliner on. It's wild.
Josh McDaniels, I saw a stat that said in his first 6 games as a head coach, he's 6-0. In his next 31 games, he's 7-24.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's not for, a lack of talent. I mean,
it's first time in Denver, he had Tebow, so they didn't have a ton of talent.
I'm talking about this year. But they're banged up. Like, Waller's out, Renfro's out again. They cut their first-round pick, who I liked him a lot coming out of college. What was his name? Safety Abrams
Jonathan Abrams.
Yeah, Jonathan. I thought he was going to be a stud player for the NFL, and they just cut him.
If you go look at their last 6 drafts, they have none of their first round picks. They're all either incarcerated or
traded. Mm. Just to put a final point on this, the Colts, who we just said hired a TV analyst to be their head coach 4 days ago, have 4 wins. They're ahead of the Browns and the Washington Commanders, who can't even pick a freaking team name any year, have 4 wins.
Mm. Yeah.
So here you are, Cleveland.
Before we wrap this up, I wanted to go back to one thing. See if you guys have an opinion on this.
Absolutely, John.
I'm sure we do.
Do you guys have your eyes on anybody that you would consider a leader on defense that we could pick up?
Coach or player?
Oh, player in the offseason.
Who said, real quick, who said about Brian Flores?
I would take Zimmer.
Yeah, someone texted about that yesterday. I would also, as far as coaching, I'd bring back Greg Williams.
I love Greg Williams.
I like Greg Williams.
He wouldn't fit. He would not fit.
As far as players go, I think it's got to be some sort of. We need a linebacker. We need a linebacker.
Go ahead, buddy.
Linebackers. They're usually the one of the most athletic, most aggressive, best players on your defense, and we never have one.
No.
So why not? I don't understand devaluing linebacker.
And we only start one anyway.
They're the captain of your defense normally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually. They're usually the guy. Well, so why do we not value that? I don't understand that.
Call me crazy. And I don't even know if this is – I'm just shooting this name out there again. Sheldon Richardson, I'm pretty sure, is still unemployed and would come in and save us a little bit. A tad bit. We could at least be like, hey – we're at least serviceable in the middle of that line. But I'm pretty sure that this is what we're going to roll out there. This is it. We're going to get dominated and bullied all day up front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about doing anything before the season is over.
No, I'd have to look at players to know players. To me, the biggest need on defense isn't – yes, we need two more D tackles. We need a linebacker. But the biggest need on defense is
– a leader.
A coordinator.
Yeah, and a coordinator, yeah. Yes.
Jeez, yeah. So, anything else you guys want to touch on? I think we covered pretty much everything. It's an embarrassing game. And we're going to get to a preview next week of next week's game. Stay tuned because
thank God it's not in Cleveland. Yeah. As much as I was excited to see Josh Allen play, not that excited now.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for checking out this episode. We appreciate your guys' voicemails. We know the Browns are hard to watch. We know it's depressing. But don't give up on the Browns and don't give up on us. I know I keep begging you, please keep watching, keep interacting with us. This is the only thing that gets me through the week after watching the Browns is coming in here and talking about how bad they suck and hearing from you guys. So keep watching the show, keep interacting. We'll get to the off season and then that's when it gets fun again because we have hope again for some reason. So we only get only 8 more weeks and it's on to the off season.
That's right, baby.
So, yeah. So stick with us and as we move into the off season, we'll talk about the Cavs. Hopefully they start winning again. Then the Guardians will be coming up. So we'll do some things to try to pump the atmosphere back up on this show once we get done with this.
We can excited for the NFL draft and who we're going to take in the first round. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're going to have to wait.
Don't get too down, though, because in a couple of weeks we do get Deshaun back. Yes. That's going to be a lot more excitement. Even if our defense is still trash, we do have an elite quarterback to
watch
finally.
Every week.
Yep. It'll be a fun preview for next year.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I know we talked about this. I think for Deshaun's first game, we're thinking about going live during that game. So you guys can kind of like watch the game with us.
And we can get kicked off of YouTube for profanity. Sounds great.
Yeah. Sounds great. If that's something you guys are interested in, let us know. So we'll just like sit around, watch the game, and shoot the shit with all you guys while we're all watching and complain together. I know some people talked about that. And so we're kind of kicking the tires on that idea. Make sure you guys check out our preview for the Bills. It's going to be super fun.
Short.
Yep, we got a lot of good stuff to talk about for that matchup. Like how many fantasy points Diggs is going to get me. Make sure you guys tune in to the After Hours. If you're not a Dog Pack member, make sure you do so. Join the dogs.com. After Hours today is going to be a lot of fun. We got some requests. People want to hear us just kind of go off about the defense. So,
here we go.
Stay tuned.
We're going to go off. We're going to make some game picks. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. If you guys don't want to check that out, we will see you guys next week when we talk about how bad the Bills beat us. Have a safe week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.